And away we go into our number four of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Brown, my man Ben, filling in for the great one, Lonzo, taking you up until 10 a.m. As we mentioned earlier in the show, we will be back tomorrow. We will be back tomorrow on New Year's Eve. We will be out on New Year's Day. We will return for Thursday and Friday. And then next week, as we get into the new year, it'll be full steam ahead all the way up to the end of the college football season on January 20th, all the way through the Super Bowl in early February. It is going to be a good run of football before we hit the football doldrums once again. But you got us full speed ahead between here and there. Listen, I am going to give you all a scary little touch of how my brain works, and I'm very sorry about it. I'm very sorry about what I'm about to do, but there's a reason that I'm going to do it. We were obviously off pretty much all of last week. We worked a Monday. We were off until today. So I was watching clips from highlights on social media, and I came across a clip that was posted by an account with no context behind it. It was a clip of Chris Berman calling the highlights from the Atlanta Falcons win over the New York Football Giants. And in that game, Matthew Judon, remember, he's the big name that the Falcons signed on defense across the defensive line, former New England Patriot. Matthew Judon made an appearance after hiding in the shadows for a good chunk of the year for the Falcons defense. Gets a little tip ball, picks it up, takes it back the other way for not just a pick six, but a fat guy pick six, which is the best pick six of all. And Boomer, Chris Berman, was doing the highlights. It sounded like this.
Third quarter. Meanwhile, Drew Lock. Matthew Judon hadn't done a ton for Atlanta, but this is the guy they thought they were getting.
Yeah, no doubt. Ball is tipped. Judon is Johnny on the spot. And we finally get him off the milk carton. Boom. Judon is for the touchdown.
Now, pretty regular clip, right? I mean, you got a fat guy pick six. Of course, that's going to get some love, whatever. But if you listen to the beginning of that.
Third quarter. Meanwhile, Drew Lock.
You heard what I heard, which was Chris Berman on a national broadcast going. And I don't know why it was that I couldn't stop thinking about for like a solid 10 minutes. It's like every time something happened in my life, I just went, hey, babe, made you dinner night. What are we having? Oh, I made you broccoli casserole. Man, I have got to get up and cut the grass tomorrow. Dadgummit, I got to the dentist 15 minutes early for my appointment, and the dentist receptionist just said he's running 30 minutes late from lunch. Son of a biscuit, my dog just threw up on the rug. It's just in my head. And then I got real bored. And I decided to double the length of. And it turned into. And that's just what my head sounds like on the inside now. I don't know what to tell you. That's just what I hear now. All right. When I rolled up in, and I went to bed early last night. I didn't even watch the end of the Falcons Commanders game. I'm a bad fan. I should have stayed up so that I could come in here today and talk about how Raheem, you can't take timeouts with you, dude. Use it. Use your timeouts. You don't get paid a bonus for keeping timeouts at the end of the year, Raheem. Call a timeout. We'll come back to that later on. But the alarm went off this morning, extra early. I said, you know what? I hadn't worked in a week. I better get in there early. I better make sure that I got all my sound clips lined up. I better make sure I got my show rundown orchestrated and organized. I got a couple of other things I got to do after that. Make sure I just got to make sure I'm genuinely on top of my, you know what I mean? And when the alarm went off this morning, my head went back to work. Now, just so we're clear, I love doing the show. I love it. I love it. As a matter of fact, on Thursday morning, I was very close to texting the boss and being like, you know what? Just set the clock up tomorrow. I know I'm on vacation, but set the clock up tomorrow. I'm going to go in and do the show because I'm just bored. That's all I can hear in my head. And then my head said, what would happen if you slowed that down by 100%? So now for the rest of forever, anytime that I am frustrated by something, that's what you're getting. You can all thank Chris Berman for that. Okay? You can all thank Chris Berman. Hey, I'm a big Jim Larranaga guy, head coach basketball down at the University of Miami. Well, he announced late last week that he is done. He is out. He is leaving. He is going home. And when asked why, he said,
I love the game and I love the university, but I'm exhausted. I've tried every which way to keep this going. And I know I'm going to be asked a lot of questions, but I want to answer them before I'm even asked. What shocked me beyond belief was after we made it to the Final Four just 18 months ago, the very first time I met with the players, eight of them decided they were going to put their name in the portal and leave. I said, don't you like it yet? No, I love it. I love Miami. It's great. But the opportunity to make money someplace else created a situation that you have to begin to ask yourself as a coach, what is this all about? And the answer is it's become professional.
Okay. Okay. What's our thing here? What's our take here? What's our thought here? Because what it sounds like to me, and I'm actually really glad that Lonzo's not here right now. I'm not glad that Lonzo's not here. I love Lonzo. I like doing a show with Lonzo. But I'm glad he's not here because what I'm about to say. Because what I'm about to say is something that he would create problems for me. What this sounds like to me is a 75-year-old coach who doesn't want to adapt to what the game is anymore. And I'm not talking about the game of basketball. Jim Larranaga, as he just pointed out, had a lot of success recently at the University of Miami. He was in a Final Four not but a couple of years ago. He was building a pretty good little basketball program down there at DU. And if you know how I feel about DU, you know that me giving credit to DU for doing anything is painful. But all this sounds like to me is a guy who's going, yeah, I don't like it and I don't want to do it anymore. Now, yes, in an ideal world, I would totally buy the whole, you know, as a coach, I have to ask, what is this all about? And I understand wanting to say, oh, you know, coaching's about developing these kids into great role models and into productive members of society. And if you ever hit me with that argument, IRL, as the kids say, if you and I are ever sitting down at a watering hole, if we had to ever head over to Three Friends Bar and Grill to grab a Jack and Coke and talk sports or whatever, right? If that ever happens, and we get to talking about this subject, and you say, you know, Rob, college sports is about developing productive members of society, about turning these young men and women into winners and into leaders who will push American society further along. I'm going to say that's wonderful. Would you be saying the same thing if your team was like 2-31 as a college basketball program, but had a 100% graduation rate? See, the answer is no. The answer is no. And I know that because of a cat that used to coach at the University of Miami, you know, that school we're talking about, by the name of Randy Shannon. Randy Shannon was the head coach of the football team down there. When Randy Shannon was in charge of the University of Miami, Miami had fewer arrests and a higher graduation rate than the other major public institutions in that state. And do you know what happened to Randy Shannon? He was fired. You know why he was fired? Because he wasn't good at coaching football. He was really good at getting kids to come to Miami and be good kids. He was really good at getting kids coming to Miami to stay out of trouble, to not go to prison, to go to their classes, to graduate with real degrees, etc., etc., etc. There was one major problem with Randy Shannon. That major problem was that Randy Shannon wasn't winning enough football games. And because he wasn't winning enough football games, Miami moved on from him. That's an idealistic view. And the unfortunate reality of the world is that sometimes you've got to look and go, that things aren't always ideal. It would be wonderful and super, super, super stupendous if they were, but that's not how the real world works. It's just not. Here's my thought. If Jim Larrañaga wanted to keep a Final Four team together, if Jim Larrañaga wanted to keep a Final Four team together and make a run at a natty, Jim Larrañaga could have done that. Now, I'm not saying he didn't do this. I'm saying he could have done it better. Jim Larrañaga could have been down there pushing for the Miami NIL collective to figure out how much the guys on that team were being told they would make if they left the school, and to figure out a way to come up with that money. Let's keep it a buck here. This isn't the head coach at FIU. This isn't the head coach at Wake Forest. This isn't the head coach at the University of West Florida. You know, it's funny to me, and I pointed this out before, when I was down in Florida, I used to be the basketball play-by-play guy for the University of West Florida Argonauts. My alma mater, let's go Argos. Big UW guy over here. I was the basketball play-by-play broadcaster for the University of West Florida. I would go to UWF games, and I would sit down, and I would call basketball games. I did the same for what is now known as Northwest Florida Community, Northwest Florida State College. When I was there, it was Okaloosa Walton Community College. Then it turned into Northwest Florida State College. NWFC, the Red Raiders. Named after Jimmy Doolittle's famous Raiders that flew bombing missions into Japan during World War II. Wonderful story if you're a history guy. Read about Doolittle's Raiders. Anyway, I call basketball games for them. And when I called basketball games for those two schools, you had to learn a new roster every year. And you had to learn a new roster every year because every year the best players on your team would leave. The best players on your team would leave. They would play there for a year. If they stepped up and they were ballers, then the next year, they got recruited to go play somewhere else. So every year, you had to learn it. And it's amusing to me. I'll give you the name of one. Chris Duarte. I watched Chris Duarte play when he was at Northwest Florida State College. 2019? 18? 19? Somewhere in there. When I was calling ball for the Red Raiders. He played 1 year there, and he was incredible. As a matter of fact, he was the NJCAA Player of the Year that year. And do you know what happened to Chris Duarte? The Oregon Ducks called him. And the Oregon Ducks said, hey, big dog, why don't you come up here to Eugene? We got dope Nike kicks for you. Because we got that Phil Knight money, 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 money. So Chris Duarte, who would have been a guy that had he played another year or two at Northwest Florida State College, would have put that program on the absolute freaking map. But do you know what he did? He played 1 year. He became the NJCAA Player of the Year. He got all the attention that comes along with that accolade. Then he took a call from the Oregon Ducks. He took his ass up to Eugene. He was a wonderful player for the Ducks, and now he's in the NBA. He's a member of the Chicago Bulls, as a matter of fact. Chris Duarte is. I watched this cat play, and then I watched him immediately get picked up and flown to Oregon. And you know what's funny? Not once did I hear anybody say, "Oh, Chris Duarte is disloyal." Chris Duarte doesn't have or has commitment issues. Chris Duarte didn't learn how to be a team player. Chris Duarte didn't figure out responsibility and obligation and yada, yada, yada. I didn't hear any of that. You know why? Because Chris Duarte went to a place where he was on the TV of more fans who got to watch him play and enjoyed watching him play. Chris Duarte made their basketball experience better because none of you have heard about Northwest Florida State Community College, Northwest Florida State College, until, I'm assuming for most of you, literally right now, like this second right now is the first you've ever heard of that school. Had Duarte stayed there, you may have heard of them because they would have had a guy who was on, I believe the Ducks went to the Elite Eight that year or Sweet 16, somewhere in that range. You would have heard of Northwest Florida State College, but you haven't. But you haven't. You haven't heard of Northwest Florida State College. What you have heard of is Chris Duarte. So the reality of this situation, and no other situation, if we're keeping it a buck here, the reality of this situation is that you don't care except when it impacts you. I suspect that Jim Larrañaga at Miami, when NIL and transfer portal wasn't the thing, I suspect that Jim Larrañaga didn't have a big problem when guys came down to DU to play for him there, but they did it because of the super hot chicks wearing bikinis in Miami. I'm suspecting Larrañaga probably didn't have a real big problem with kids picking to go play for Miami because of all the Lamborghinis rolling up and down South Beach. Probably didn't care when they were utilizing the assets of Miami to get players down there. But now that other schools were kind of cutting into that game a little bit, now all of a sudden there is an issue. Now all of a sudden there is a problem. Now all of a sudden it's not great. Because now Jim Larrañaga would have had to do some extra work. Now Jim Larrañaga would have had to put in some extra effort. And I get it. At 75 years of age, he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to do that. That's all it comes down to. As I pointed out, once again, here's the reality. The reality is, this is a 75-year-old guy who just watched the foundation of the game. Listen, there are guys I know, once again, in our game, there are guys I know in this industry that when broadcasting switched and it stopped being pop a mic and be good on the radio for 4 hours and it started turning into pop a mic and be good for 4 hours. Oh, and by the way, you got to have a Twitter account. Oh, and by the way, you got to have an Instagram account. Oh, and by the way, you got to do TikTok. Oh, and by the way, you got to do this and you got to write and you got to update websites and you got to do this and you got to do this and you got to do this. And they went, yo, bleep this. I'm out. I'm out. I know guys who walked away from lucrative jobs because they did not want to do all the extra things that you now have to do to be good at this job, to keep this job. They didn't want to do it anymore. So they said, yo, bleep this, I'm out. That's all this is. A 75-year-old guy who just doesn't want to do it anymore. And I don't blame him. Good. You're 75. Go enjoy retirement, dog. You've made millions of dollars. Go sit on South Beach and hit on chicks 50 years younger than you and have a great time, Jim. But, like, I don't feel sympathy for a guy going, yeah, all the players are better off and I just don't want to do the work. Okay. Well, then don't. You're very rich. Enjoy retirement, big dog. All right, take a break. We'll come back. We'll get some NFL talk here in the next segment. And then Dax Harwood, one half of FTR, one third of FT Rated R, going to join us from All Elite Wrestling to wrap up the show, The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate. You know what? I do want to talk some NFL, but I'm gonna get to this Cam Ward thing here for just a second because I find it very interesting. You heard Diesel talking about it there during the wire-to-wire sports spin. Make sure you check out my dogs, Diesel and Cole B, CB and the D-Train, every single weekday afternoon right here on the Fan Upstate from 3 to 7 p.m. on Wire to Wire, our not-so-brand-new but still newest local show, Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson and Diesel. That's going to be an entertaining listen every day of the week. But you heard him say that that was the most embarrassing and shameful thing that's ever happened. Basically, the story is this. Cam Ward had an opportunity to go in there, set a touchdown record. He did that, and then he said, yo, I'm out. And look, obviously Miami would go on to lose by a point. Game that had he played the second half, they would have won. And here's my genuine question. Who cares? Honestly, who cares? Oh, no. Miami lost the Pop-Tart Bowl. A game that, and I mean this, as I scrolled around social media after the game was over, do you know what I saw primary highlights of more than anything else? The Pop-Tart mascots. That's what I saw. I saw the Pop-Tart. For instance, at one point, they resurrected the dead and eaten Pop-Tart from last year. They resurrected him. Like, they played a tribute, like an RIP tribute video to the, I believe it was a strawberry Pop-Tart last year. The one that got ate after being ritualistically sacrificed in the giant toaster. Yeah, they did a whole-ass tribute video as if it was an actual thing that actually died. And then after the video was over, that Pop-Tart arose from the scoreboard. And here's the best part. At the end of last year, after the team ate the Pop-Tart and they showed the remains of the consumed Pop-Tart, they literally made the new Pop-Tart mascot have the same I've been eaten icing on the top of him. So they resurrected, but did not fix the dead Pop-Tart from last year. That was the highlight of the game. No, that's not true. The highlight of the game was the beginning when they introduced the new three Pop-Tart mascots, and the first Pop-Tart mascot ran to the center of the field and ripped off his silver wrapper like Hulk damn Hogan at WrestleMania 3. Can I tell you what I didn't see? What I didn't see were highlights of the damn game anywhere. Nobody cares. So what did Cam Ward do? Cam Ward, see, this is why I like having the stream, because my man Joey B just came in here and got exactly where I was going. Cam Ward, says Joey B, correctly, what I was going to say. Cam Ward took all the injury risk that comes with 17 practices getting ready for a bowl game. Cam Ward took all the injury risk that come with going out there and playing a first half. Now, did he only do it for personal glory? Maybe. But here's the thing. I'm not saying everybody, and I'm not saying with everything, but when you are doing something with, you know, work, whatever. Don't you kind of do it for personal glory to some degree, right? Even if it's just recognition. Even if it's just the recognition, it's personal glory. Cam Ward had an opportunity to enshrine his name in college football history. And he went out there and he did it. Is he a bad guy? Should he have passed on the opportunity to enshrine his name in the annals of college football history in order to what? Let's keep it a buck. Make it even harder for his team to win the game? Because here's the thing. If Cam Ward decided to play zero college football this weekend, if he decided to play not at all in this bowl game and 100% dedicate himself to getting ready for the National Football League draft, Miami would have had to go to a backup quarterback. And do you know how that would have gone? Worse than it did. Worse than it did. So the whole concept about, oh, he quit on the team. He didn't have to play in the first place. He gave you one half of Cam Ward football. He gave you one half to go try to win a game that, again, none of you care about. You all care more about the Pop-Tart mascots than you cared about this game. Tell me I'm wrong. Because I went to social media and I was looking around afterwards, because I do believe that social media gives you a better representation of what the people want to talk about than watching TV highlights, man. Like, it kind of is what it is. And the only thing that I saw was Pop-Tart mascots. That's it. I saw Pop-Tart mascot highlights. And don't get me wrong, it was kind of awesome. It was kind of awesome. They're great. I got to tell you, the Pop-Tart mascots do a hell of a job being entertaining. One of them, like, crept up on a referee. Was, like, going to mess with him. The referee turned around and he, like, ran off to the side. It was absolutely hilarious. All right? The Pop-Tart mascots, mwah, phenomenal. Phenomenal work to the actors. But here's the thing. This cat decided with multi-million dollars worth of NFL contract money on the line, said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a half. I'll give you a, he didn't have to give you anything. He could have said, bleep this, I'm out, headed to the show. But he didn't. He showed up and he played and he gave you a half, and he gave you a really good half, gave you a really good half of football before he said, all right, I've got myself in the record books. I will forever be described as one of the most efficient passing quarterbacks in the history of the National Football, or excuse me, of college football before I head to the National Football League. He gave you a half. He gave you a position to win. You didn't do it. And then he took off. What would you have had him do? Not play at all? Not play at all, make the backup play the whole time and have a 0% chance of winning? Or at least give you a half, man. At least give you a half. I got to tell you right now, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. If I'm in a spot where I can do one of two things. Something that you really, really appreciate from me, and I get no dollars, or something that makes you actively dislike me as a person, but I get $20 million. Do you know which of those two things I'm going to do? I'm going to do the thing that makes you think that I am the biggest absolute piece of in the world. And I'm going to go wipe my sad tears away with $100 bills. This man did not have to play a down. Didn't have to play a down. Could have said, nope, I'll be out in Arizona getting my NFL draft training on. I'll be out in Phoenix working with some vaunted NFL's quarterbacks coach, getting my technique down, my footwork right. learning the slide protections, figuring out how to translate what I did in college, which was to improv everything and make everything go super duper great because I am a raw, athletic, genetic freak. But you know what? I'm going to go practice 17 times, and I'm going to take the risk that I blow an ACL or an MCL, and I'm never the same player, and I lose like tens of millions of dollars. Or I go out there, and I stink it up, and I cost myself draft spots, whatever the case might be. No, I'm going to – here's what I'm going to do. What I am going to do is I'm going to go take the risk. I'm going to go practice. I'm going to get the boys ready. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to play until I get the tutty that I need, and then I'm out of here. And he gave you a half. Is he a piece of crap? I got to tell you, if that man's drafted, and he will be, inside the top three or four picks in the NFL draft, and he's making $27 million, and he's not doing it with a busted ACL or whatever – I'm going to tell you right now, at that spot, I don't think he cares what you think anymore. And I don't think he cares what I think or what anybody else thinks. Now, here's what I think. What I think is it's time to go to break. And when we come back, we are going to be joined on the stream. So if you want to be a part of that, now's an opportune time to join at facebook.com/thefanupstate. Search The Fan Upstate on YouTube or The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook. We are going to be joined when we come back by AEW legend Dax the Axe, Dax Harwood, one half of FTR, one third of Rated FTR. They got a big AEW show going up in Asheville coming up on New Year's Day. We will talk to Dax Harwood of All Elite Wrestling when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. And as the only sports talk radio show here in the upstate of the Palmetto State, lovely Greenville, South Carolina, that talks not just talks professional wrestling, loves professional wrestling. Doesn't talk about it because we have to. We talk about it because we want to. And frankly, we don't give a damn what anybody else thinks. We're going to do it. We are now honored to welcome into the show a young man who is a Carolina boy. He is one half of the tag team known as FTR, and now one third of the trios team known as Rated FTR, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. From All Elite Wrestling, Dax Harwood joins us here on the show. Dax the Axe, what's up, big dog? Thanks for taking a minute. Glad to have you here, partner.
Hey, first thing you said was a young man. I don't know who you're talking about. It ain't me.
I mean, young relative. You stood next to Adam Copeland a couple of days ago, relatively speaking.
Well, yeah, but he's 10 years older than me, but looks 10 times better than me. So, you know, it's a lose-lose situation for me anyway. It doesn't matter.
Story of my life. Welcome to it. That's just how it goes. Dax Harwood joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate for a lot of different reasons. The first is because we had a stellar pay-per-view, World's End, a couple of days ago. We got another one coming up on New Year's Day, is Fight for the Fallen, taking place up in Asheville, North Carolina. Dax, of course, a Carolina kid. So I got to imagine it's got to feel pretty great, not just to have another Fight for Fallen. I was at one of the first ones down in Jacksonville. I have been an AEW fan since the inception of this company. I have enjoyed every Fight for the Fallen. But to have that event, which is such not just an important event to what's happening in AEW, but for the purposes and the charitable efforts that are connected to it, to have that event and have it right there in your own backyard, Dax Harwood, it's got to feel pretty good for you.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, dude, this is the first time ever AEW is going to be simulcasted from TBS and from Max, you know? So it's a huge show for our company, maybe the biggest show in our television history. But the thing is, you know, Tony Khan could have picked any market in the world, any large market in the world. He could have taken this huge event for AEW, first ever simulcast. He could have gone to LA. He could have gone to Chicago. He could have gone to New York. And that would have looked great on a poster. That would have sounded great in the promotional ads. First ever simulcast from Los Angeles, California. But instead of that, He knew that we being Asheville, we needed some hope and we needed some help. So he decided to bring this first ever simulcast to Asheville, North Carolina. It's an incredible event, obviously, for the history of our company, but also we're partnering with Mana Food Bank. We're partnering with Dream Center, Beloved Asheville, and a host of other charities, and we're donating proceeds from this event to those guys. So, yeah, man, it's my backyard. Huge event for our company, but to bring joy and hope and raise awareness and raise some spirits, I love being a part of this.
It's an incredible thing. We're obviously 50 minutes south of Asheville, and when Hurricane Helene ripped through back in September of last year, Asheville obviously took a huge brunt of damage. I know really the entire western side of the Carolinas did as a whole. So to see what you guys are doing, and like you said, to instead of going and put this in a big Chicago or an LA, to do this in the Carolinas in order to continue those relief efforts, that's fantastic, not just from the standpoint of having wrestling in wrestling country, but all the good we're going to get to do for this area, for Asheville, for all the way down here through the upstate, et cetera. Man, it's an incredible feeling, I have to imagine, for you. I'm relatively new to the Carolinas. I moved here in 2020. This place became home to me very, very quickly. So for somebody who's from this area, grew up in this area, I can't imagine the impact it's got to have on you.
Yeah, man. The thing was, you said it became home very quickly. The great thing about the Carolinas are the people, and the people will accept you very quickly. It might take a little bit of time if you're a New Yorker or something or somewhere up north. It might take a little time for them to accept you, but once you become a Carolina family, dude, you're a Carolina family forever. Yeah, man, I'm so excited for this event. My family, personally, we were impacted from Hurricane Helene. Thank God it was, you know, comparative to everybody else, we came out okay. But like my tag team partner, Cash Wheeler, he lost a whole property to mudslide. And, you know, Adam Copeland and his family, they were affected pretty impactfully. And so we came together just a week or so after the storm. We met at our wrestling school, and we said, what can we do to bring some hope to this area? And our first initial idea was just a live event. We were thinking of maybe pitching just a live event to Tony Khan, bring in some of the stars like Chris Jericho, obviously Adam Copeland, bring in some of the stars and have a fun event. But Tony said, I'll do you one better. Let's have a live television show from Asheville on TBS and now on Max too. So Tony Khan revved it up just a little bit more than we did.
That's awesome, man. Let's talk a little bit about this show because, number one, it is a hell of a wrestling card, which I'm very excited about. But the excitement went up through the roof a little bit because up stood FTR and out to come stare down Mox and the rest of the Death Riders comes the rated R superstar Adam Copeland, an icon, an iconoclast, a legend, and still continuing to be one of the best in the game. Man, what was it like to get Adam Copeland to sign on to stand on that stage and stare down the Death Riders with you guys?
It is a full circle moment for me. Me, myself, and Cash and Adam, we've been friends for close to 10 years then. And, you know, he and I talked for about 6 months before he signed with AEW. And, you know, I don't want to say it took some convincing, but it took some convincing to get him away from the legacy he had built in WWE. And I had to let him know that here at AEW, for the first time in 25 years, there is an alternative in professional wrestling, a viable alternative in professional wrestling. Now we rival that company. And it feels good, man. It feels good to have someone the caliber of Adam in AEW. But more importantly, it feels good to have Adam on the side of FTR, now rated FTR. You know, like you said, Adam Copeland, the rated R superstar, one of the greatest of all time. He has a legacy that's already written, and he could go home and sit in the couch for the rest of his life if he wanted to, but he doesn't want to do that. He wants to stand side by side with FTR here for AEW against, again, a future Hall of Famer in Jon Moxley, future Hall of Famer in Claudio Castagnoli, and, you know, a little pissant like Wheeler Yuta. So a six-man tag, huge event, main event, first time ever for these guys to be in the ring together. And it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a hell of a fight, too.
And I think what's really exciting about this is because of the angle of what Moxley and the Death Riders are trying to do, and you guys being a mainstay with AEW for a very long time. Not that the company needed credibility, but Adam Copeland coming over was a fantastic notification to maybe people who had casually tuned in or not yet really bought into AEW. To have you three guys kind of defending the honor of AEW from the Death Riders, like, this isn't just a match, man. This is a match with the legacy of All Elite Wrestling on the line.
Absolutely. And dude, I understand what you said about AEW might not have needed the credibility, but you know, let's be honest. We're still a very, very, very young company, 5 years old. That's toddler age. So we did need the credibility of Adam Copeland. We had to. We needed the credibility of Adam Copeland. We needed the credibility of Sting, of Chris Jericho, and all these huge stars. And then on, you know, on the flip side of that, we've got the young stars as well, like Kyle Fletcher, Will Hobbs, all guys were building up. But this fight specifically, you know, they have been running rampant in AEW. But this fight specifically is not just about AEW versus the Death Riders. I think it goes a little deeper than that. Because as much as I love AEW, I'm not defending AEW's honor. Because Tony Khan has got $13 billion. So if he wants to defend AEW's honor, he can hire a whole million. So comparative to a military, FTR and Adam Copeland, we're nothing. But what we are fighting for is something personal. We never had a problem with those guys. They ended up having a problem with FTR. And we said, you know what? Let's fight fair. Let's bring our best friend. And now we have Adam Copeland. And one thing Adam wants to do before he retires is become AEW World Heavyweight Champion. And to do that, he's got to go through Jon Moxley. And right now, Rated FTR and the Death Riders, that's his path to the AEW World Heavyweight Championship.
I cannot wait for this card on New Year's Day in Asheville, North Carolina. Dax Harwood, one half of FTR, one third of Rated FTR, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. And the Fan of Upstate, when you look at the stat cards, you guys, and especially with the roster that's being built, you add names like Will Ospreay and Okada and some of these like international superstars that are not just choosing AEW, but are choosing AEW over every other company, not in the States, internationally as well. As somebody who has kind of been there from the beginning, when you see those names and this much talent all accumulating on one roster, how's that make you feel as an OG member?
You know, it makes me feel like there's hope for professional wrestling. Here's the thing. There is no us versus them. That was created online. That was created through social media. It's wrestling. It's pro wrestling. And it's a win-win situation for pro wrestling. We just had a sold out crowd in Orlando, and right down the street, so did our competition, WWE. They had a great crowd as well. And that was a win-win for Orlando. That was a win-win for professional wrestling. I think with Okada, who will go down as one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, Will Ospreay, who eventually will go down as maybe the greatest in-ring performer of all time, the reason they chose, it's not that they chose AEW over WWE or AEW over New Japan. They just chose professional wrestling because they know that AEW is something they can help build from the ground up. And if they have a hand in building something from the ground up and it is successful, then years and years and years to come, wrestlers have an option. They have a viable option. They can make money, not just going to one place, not just going to one monopoly. They can spread their wings and go to different places. And now professional wrestling has option, has choices for the wrestlers, but also for the fans too.
Hell yeah, Dax Harwood, one half of FTR, a third of Rated FTR, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. All Elite Wrestling's Fight for the Fallen is New Year's Day in Asheville, North Carolina, and it is going to do a lot of good with Hurricane Helene relief across the Carolinas. Dax, my man, spectacular to have you on the show. I'm going to go tell the Rise guys you said they're worthless. I appreciate you coming by, big dog.
No, don't tell them that. I got to be there on January the 3rd. After that, tell them January 4th, because I'd hate to beat them up in studio. That would be really embarrassing for them.
I accept. And I'm also going to say now, when you come, I got to have you come walk down the hall and come in studio and hang out with us, too.
Let's do it. I'm down. Anytime.
Legend. Dax Harwood, we appreciate your time, big dog. We'll talk to you. Have a great card on Monday. Good luck.
Thank you guys so much.
You got it. Dax Harwood from FTR here on the RBS, the Rob Brown Show. We're back tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thanks for being here. It is the Fan Upstate.